Again, if you happen to be the first engineer on a graded day, you're in charge of white balancing the canvas for a grade. And my last class found this out probably on maybe three or four different occasions in the course of graded shows, that for some reason, it could be the sixth show of the day, all of a sudden something's looking blue. We're looking like a Smurf for a Duel video or something. We got a white balance because something accidentally got hit, and we got to be white balance. So you may need to do that during the course of your time out there. So keep that in mind. It seems a lot more difficult than what it actually is. It's really, really simple. But you do have to kind of follow the six steps to make sure it's all set. Of course, if you're a photographer, you can obviously white balance cameras right from the camera. But here it's a little bit more detailed because you have a waveform monitor to tell you the levels that you're going to be doing that on. So we'll go through all that stuff as we kind of go through. You got one coming down your way. All right. Three, four. Also, too, one thing we're going to hit on today just a little bit in the crew responsibilities packet that I gave you last week, under master control. So you may want to just take that little packet out just so you can follow along with that. Okay. Also, rotation sheet for you guys for this week. We're looking at five shows per group on Thursday. That should be the minimum. All right. And then Friday, we should be able to get about six in per group. From what I understand, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think the lovely and talented Stephen Straz will be with you guys on Thursday, because I'll be in Cleveland for a little conference thing. Keep in mind, folks, if you've never been to Cleveland in February, you may want to check it out. It's really nice. And last but not least, study sheet for today. Now, it says study sheet number two coming your way, guys. Keep in mind, you don't really have a study sheet number one for week one, but that is honestly your crew responsibilities packet. Everything's pretty much typed up for it. So don't be too confused about that. Okey-doke. All right, guys, just so you know what's on the agenda today here, we're going to just kind of touch on this master control operator, really get into the five departments of a TV station. We're talking the five main departments of a TV station and really focus in on news because that's where a lot of the jobs where you care about are concerned. So you got to see how that comes into play. And then what we're going to do is towards the second half, probably around 10 o'clock, 10:15, I'm just going to throw on a Breaking News Miami, which basically, you know, puts you in the shoes of the stuff we're going to talk about for the first half. Reporters, photographers, what they're going through, really 2 days in their life a little bit. So I've seen some of the other breaking news that are actually out there. This one's probably the better one. But even if you're looking and saying, wow, yeah, because I look back in this thing, should I show this? Because, you know, the computers are old, the cell phones they use are a little old, but the way they go about doing things, it's the same. You still have to ask questions. You still have to get video, you know, as far as photography. You still have to be in a rush situation. Sometimes it's very laid back. So I'm not too concerned about the equipment that you see. You're not going to see too much of it. But don't feel as though all the other stuff they're doing is just really not, that doesn't happen anymore. So the point of the matter is you'll see that in action too. So, all right, first thing I want to talk about is master control. That's it right out of your crew responsibilities packet. And it, what it says here for, there's two things for it. Number one, it's the nerve center of a TV station. Basically, looking at this, it's like a board op. That's what it is. It's a board op. I mean, in radio, you have a board op, right? They're the ones putting stuff on the air. Same thing with master control. That's the person that basically is making sure that, let's say, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, General Hospital is routed out because you're working for an ABC station in Seattle. Okay? Or Dr. Phil or whatever other show you got on. 7 o'clock entertainment tonight. 7:30, that crazy entertainment show after that. All right? Whatever reruns you have of Spin City or Friends or whatever the case is, that stuff gets on the air. Okay? So that's kind of your responsibility as a master control operator. Also, too, keep in mind that they're in control of the situation here until it's 6 o'clock for newscast time. That's when you guys take control for the switcher. You know, as a switcher, during the show, you're the one in charge of putting the right video on the air, the right camera shots on the air. But as soon as we go to a commercial break, you fade to black. And then master control will take over. Okay? So look at it this way. If you're watching CSI, Okay. And what is that, CBS? I don't watch much TV shows. I just don't have time to do this one. So what is that, NBC? CBS? Okay. So if you're working for a CBS station in Detroit, CSI's on, let's say 10 o'clock to 11. So right around that first commercial break, right around, let's say 10:15, you as a mass control operator have to look and say, okay, what commercials are supposed to air? Okay. Because at this point here, at 10:15 commercial break, that means all the CBS affiliates, we may have a national Mickey D spot from 10:15 to 10:16. All right, so you just let it go. But at some point at 10:16 to 10:16:30, you're going to look at the program log and say, okay, well, here we go. We got a local spot or whatever business in Detroit. Okay? So I have to put that in there, because if I don't put that in as a mass control operator, what's going to happen is everyone in the city of Detroit watching CSI is going to see nothing but 30 seconds of black on the air. So it's my job as a mass control operator to insert local commercials and making sure that gets done. That's one of many responsibilities. Recording satellite feeds, playing local and syndicated programs like Entertainment Tonight, reruns, whatever the case is. You just have to make sure the proper coordinates are called up. We're not going to get into all the details of that, but just so you know that position does exist. And with mass control, quite honestly, folks, it's one of those jobs where either a ton of stuff is going on at once or nothing at all. So it is some dead time when you're running mass control. But keep in mind, once we obviously get our newscast out of the air, then it's a switcher who's putting stuff on the air. Fade to black and commercial, mass control takes over. That's why at the beginning of your shows, we want to make sure that you guys stay in black until we 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fade up from black at the appropriate time. Okay? Any questions on mass control? That's really all we're going to go over on that. I don't need to know that in and out, but just so you know that does exist. And I will say this, because this is something, I get emails from former students all the time. Once in a while, you see them in the field and all this stuff. But it's kind of funny because they just happen to mention this. And sometimes you think, man, you're hammering these points home, hammering home these points. And then sometimes people just bounces right off 16 times. And then there's other times you just happen to mention something in class, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, we had a guy who just graduated about a year ago. And he got a job at one of the cable stations. It's like a Christian cable station. And I don't remember the one. But he got a job as part of his job as a mass control operator. Right? So he emails me back and says, yeah, I got this job, and I remember what you said in class, and I only said it like one time, just a pinch. I said, no, I just know a couple guys that got in position at the TV station as a mass control operator. And what happened was he stayed there. They were content with that. When they were content with that, what happens is, you don't go for this job, you don't go for that job, you're just content with what you're doing, and then next thing you know, time passes by, and next thing you know, it's just no one's really going to take it too seriously, because you've just been at that content little job that you had for a while. And he even said, I'm going to be here for, 6 months to 8 months, this is my main job, and I really want to flourish, because I remember what you said, like, okay, very cool. Because again, that does happen. People will tend to pass you by because they don't see you as a very aggressive individual. So, not just with mass control, that really goes a lot of times. So just kind of keep that in mind. That's something you're going to be a professional. Okay? So, for sure. All right, bless you. All right, any questions on master control? All right. Now we're going to swing over to week two, and now we're right up to par as far as what we're going to talk about for this particular this day here, as far as week two, as far as those different departments of the TV station. All right, so we talked about number one. Obviously, the department that we're working with all quarter long, operations or production, means the same thing. All right, the technical aspects of a station. All right, that's right on top of the crew, right in front of the crew responsibilities packet that says the operations, production department, whichever name you want to call it, all depends on where you work it, deals with the technical aspects of a station. Okay? And that deals with all the positions that you guys are doing that's in that packet. Switcher, director, tape op, camera, we're talking in-studio camera operators, okay? Audio, teleprompter, that type of stuff, okay? So we're the ones that are going to make this thing look really, really good on the air as far as the show, all right? Technical, make it look good. All right, any questions on operations? That's the number one department that we're going to focus on all quarter. That's what this whole class is based on, okay? The next three we're just going to kind of touch on real quick and not spend a whole lot of time with until we get the news, but the next one we're going to talk about here is the sales department. All right, sales, some folks are pretty good at schmoozing the public a little bit. Well, what I mean by that is BS, people first, okay? It's not a bad thing. It's just sales, basically you're generating advertising for the station. That's where the money's made, okay? So obviously, you know, we have some people that have sales backgrounds. I think we touched on sales a little bit in the curriculum as well, that went away, came back, went away, came back. Because there's jobs out there for them. So it's one of those situations where some people, they either like it or they don't. I mean, it's either you love it or you don't really like it a whole lot. So I've never been in sales myself, but I will say this. Sales folks, typically in the small markets, and you can even say this to some degree in a lot of the medium markets, they tend to drive better cars than the on-air radio sales. I'll just put it that way. That's typically what you see. So nonetheless, they're just trying to make money for the station. You know, they're trying to sell air. That's what, when you think of it that way, they're trying to sell air. And again, if I'm a business, if I got a small business and I want to, you know, and WNLD is the top rated station, obviously I'm going to spend more money because more people are watching. So I got to spend more money, and I'm going to spend more money if I want to get my commercial right around the top of the newscast. If I want to put it right at, 6:06 or 6:07 compared to 6:30. More people watch the beginning of the news than the end of the news. Okay? So you're going to be spending more money, and you have to keep in mind those businesses are watching. They're listening and they're watching. Make sure their spot got on the air. So that's kind of what you're looking at. Now, one thing I will say as far as just personal experience, you never want to have this battle too much. But again, in Lima, Ohio, first job, you're young and dumb. You don't really know what you're doing. But Dancy Moore, who was a person I grew up watching, that I had an opportunity to work with, was really a true professional. She was a news producer in Lima at the time. Okay, so I'm the sports producer at anchor. So I walk into work, and the first thing I look at is to look at the rundown sheet, which wasn't fully built up yet. It was a skeleton rundown. It wasn't quite built up. So I get there about 3-4 hours before I go on air, thinking, wow, man, cool, I got like 8 minutes tonight. She's like, well, you want another minute and a half to 2 minutes? It's like, yeah, absolutely. I get 10 minutes sport tonight? I mean, it's more work, but it's more airtime. It's like, this is great. And it's like, man, Dancy, look at you, you got all this time. Good for you. Good for you. You know what I mean? So she's like, nah, that's not too good. I said, what do you mean? It's more airtime. Come on. And then she basically holds up the rundown. She says, look at our commercial rates. And I'm looking around and say, well, yeah, there really aren't any. I think it's a weekend. She's saying, that's the problem. There aren't really any commercial breaks. I mean, half of the breaks are our own promotional stuff. So then you look back and say, okay, well, no one's really watching. If no one's really watching, that means there's really no money coming in. If there's no money coming in, that's when you tend to look over your shoulder and think, okay, who's going to cut first? All right? So at that point, now you have a battle between the news department and the sales department. The on-air talent is the news department. Saying, well, the sales, I know what they're doing. They walk around in their suits. They got these country club, they bring all these guys to the country club, and they wine and dine them, and, what's going on? I mean, they're not selling air, they're not doing their job. Then, of course, the news department come back and say, well, okay, I'm going to tell you honestly, guys, if you guys weren't so butt ugly and the content really sucked, maybe people would actually watch you guys. Okay, a little bad. Okay, so you understand where they're coming from, they understand where we're coming from. All right, so sales, that's where the money's made, good stuff. Okay. All right. Any questions on sales? That's all we're going to talk about in sales. Just know it's there and know what it does. All right. Not a whole lot of specifics with that. The next two we're going to just kind of breeze over real quick as well too. The next one here is the traffic department, and if you guys in radio class probably know exactly what we're talking about there. Traffic. Basically, what you're doing is scheduling when the commercials are going to air. That's your main job. Scheduling when commercials are going to air. So you see kind of how this works. Hopefully, if your content's good in the news department, radio station, same concept, whatever your format is, music, news, whatever, hopefully your format's good, hopefully you got really good talent, hopefully you got good content, so therefore the sales department can sell air. And when they sell airtime, then that means they're going to say, okay, this business here, they want a top slot, they're spending more money. Okay, this business here, they're spending, they're trying to get in there too, but we're going to sit, fit them right around the weather or sports. So there's X amount of dollars right there. So at this particular point, if I'm in traffic, my job is to say, okay, who paid what? What are we doing? How long is the spot? Where should they go in the newscast? Or in radio, where should they go in radio? Are they going to put it at a 10 o'clock spot or a 2 o'clock in the morning spot? You know what I mean? There's a huge difference in how much you're going to pay for that, right? So my job as traffic is to make that program log. And then, of course, what did we just talk about at the beginning of the class? Master control, right? So sales sells it. Traffic schedules it, and then give it to Master Control on TV, and Master Control will look at the log and say, okay, we got to play this commercial this time. And get it all in there. Okay? So that's kind of the way that typically works. And again, sometimes in this industry, you're going to be doing things that you think are a big deal. and then you realize they're not that big of a deal. And then other times you're going to think, oh, I don't think I need to mention this to anybody, and it's a huge deal. Again, personal experience. First couple months in radio. I think it was a weekend cast, I don't know, weekend shift, you know, from, I don't even know what the time it was, but let's say it was 10 minutes before the hour, okay? 10 minutes in front of the hour before we go into 35 minutes of nonstop rock. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to say, all right? Puking on the microphone. But before I did that, there was three commercial breaks. And I remember there was two jewelry stores, and one was like an automotive shop, instant oil change, something. God, it was called instant oil. So it was in there, so I was like, okay, I got to play these commercials. So I think what I did was play Helzberg Diamonds, Posterman, and Instant Oil Change. It was supposed to be Helzberg, Instant Oil Change, and then Osterman. So basically you have the two jewelry stores with something completely different in the middle. That's the plan, to separate the two, make the clients happy. I didn't do that, and I didn't think it was any big deal. Well, I'm introing the song, and next thing you know, the red light's blinking in the studio, so it's either A, there's a celebrity on the hotline. It's Toledo, no one calls. Maybe Katie knows. Or it's my boss. And it was Ron Finch, one of the nicest guys who ever been, one of the more patient program directors, and he's still down there in Toledo. I think he's at 95 or something like that. But the point of the matter, just a heck of a guy, patient guy. He goes, tell him, what'd your program log say? It's like, well, I told him. He goes, what did you play? It's like, you know, he's like, don't do that because, you know, we want to make these people happy. We want them to be return customers. You know, if Helzberg is selling a diamond pendant, all right, people get confused. They go to Osterman looking for the diamond pendant that's on sale. It's not there. It's the other stuff. It's, you know, so you want to make sure we've got to get this good. That's the reason why we have something completely different. So there is a method behind the madness. So nonetheless, traffic, you're going to schedule that stuff and when you go there. All right, any questions on traffic? Any questions on sales? So far, so good on operations, okay? Very cool. The fourth one out of the five is promotions. Promotions is something that you guys as interns are a very good chance you may be thrown into the promotions department, especially if you're in radio. You're basically generating the image of the station, okay? You're going to certain events to get your keychains out there, bumper stickers, and get your name. Check out the website, you know? This is listen to us, get free t-shirts. Something like that. So that's kind of what you're looking at as far as promotions. As far as TV, what a lot of times we'll promote, well, you know, obviously sweeps. You got sweeps, ratings periods throughout the year, and we want to make sure we promote sweeps because we want to make sure that's our ratings period. We want to make sure that, it's a situation where we get people to watch. So we're going to have certain things on. I mean, if we're an ABC station, ABC Network's going to have some cool little things on. We may segue into some cool stories. You know, and it is ridiculous sometimes. I work in news. I'll be the first one to tell you this. Like in Detroit, I don't think we've seen these stories yet. I know in Toledo we haven't. How to drive in the snow. We'll have a three-part series on this because people forget how to drive in the snow. So we have that same story about how to drive in the snow. And that same story about everyone's getting ready for the blizzard and they're going to the store to buy shovels and snow blowers. Well, you should have had that in the first place, okay? So just repeat the story from 15 years ago, honestly. Don't even send anyone out. It was saving money, right? But nonetheless, that's kind of the sweeps thing. We want to make sure we have some interesting stories, and a lot of times we'll have two- and three-part stories, something interesting to grab the attention of the audience. And that's what you're doing as far as promoting. Sometimes you're going to promote new talent that's going to be basically hired in. You know, things like that. Whether the anchor's going to be something kind of different off the wall, sometimes you're going to have that with them, okay? And as far as promotion, sometimes you guys are on air talent. You may go out, it's a little trick of the trade here. I know they do this so much now, but we used to have our a couple places that I used to work with. They'd say, all right, listen, we want to schedule you guys. One of the schools, especially the elementary and junior highs, they're looking for someone that they're interested in wanting to know if someone from the station is going to go over there and talk to the kids. So I said, talk to the kids. Well, who are they going to send? Of course, they're going to send people who the kids see on the air. You know, like myself, or the news anchors, whatever the case is. So you go there and you talk to them. Of course, what you're doing is just kind of doing Jedi mind tricks on these kids. That's all you're doing. I mean, you're asking questions, answering questions. So it's good. They're excited because they see you as a TV person. You know, to them, it's like, oh, wow. And here, it's like you're just an average Joe Blow that, you know, same thing if I worked at a Dodge dealership. I'm like everybody else, you know. But you're hoping that these kids go home and say, oh, my God, you know, Lynn Allen was there from Channel 4. Mom, Dad, can we watch the news? And, of course, you're hoping that they influence Mom and Dad to watch the news and watch Channel 4, and next thing you know, they'll keep Channel 4 on, and that's hopefully what you're hoping for, okay? So So when the ratings periods come out, you get one of those Arbitron ratings, you mark down as far as what you watch. I seem to get caught up in this all the time. I don't want to do it, but my wife is like, hey, listen, that's five crisp dollar bills. Okay, sign this thing out. It's pretty good. Right. So, of course, I'm doing my Arbitron rating thing, and I realized doing this a couple times how little TV I actually watch. So what did you watch on Thursday? Let's see, 7 a.m. SpongeBob. News, 11 o'clock. Watch a little sports, watch a little CNN or something. And that's it. And then, of course, I did get caught up in a two-part series with moose attacks on Animal Planet. Once in a while, I'm sure people are arbitrarily looking at this and say, okay, you watch SpongeBob, because the kids, right? SpongeBob, and then you watch the little news, little CNN, little STO, Sports Time Ohio, catch up on the Tribe, or whatever else is going on with the Browns, and then moose attacks. I mean, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. Moose attacks. I'm there, man. Anytime when monkeys attack and moose, I mean, you got me hooked. So moose attacks. Oh, yeah, it was good. Right in the last of the news. Good stuff. Chimps, too. Chimp attacks are interesting to watch. No, I mean, they're not good that this happened. I'm just saying. It's interesting stuff out of this. It's just real life stuff. It's reality TV. It's stuff. So, all right. Any questions on promotions? All right. Enough of promotions. All right. So, what we really want to deal with today is news. And, again, the breaking news in Miami I'm going to show you. I think it's pretty interesting. And I think it's entertaining at the same time to watch this as well, too. But it's going to kind of correlate on the stuff we're going to talk about now. But also, too, keep in mind, because these are jobs out there. This news department, basically, we talk about the news department. These are the folks who are going to go out throughout the course of the day and put together the entire newscast. They're the ones doing all the work from, let's say, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock noon, all the way to right up to 6. And then us as the operations department for on your Thursdays and Fridays, we're the ones who are supposed to technically make this thing who really look good. Okay? So we're going to talk about the news department. What the news department does, their main priority, is handling the content of the broadcast. Okay? The content. What stories are we going to do? What order are we going to put them in? Things like that. So the content of the newscast is really what you're dealing with the news department. Okay? And we're going to talk about main positions in the news department as well, too. But content is a key. Right? And the first person you're going to talk about here is the producer. Right, that's why a lot of times people get a little confused. Producer, director, what's the difference? Producer's in charge of the content of this bad guy. Okay? Director's going to make it look good. Okay? So content is huge. Now, we talk about producers. This is a pretty intense job. The money's decent, and the money could be very good as well, too, depending how well you are, how good you are, and what market you're in, and how much experience you have, and things like that. But a couple things for the producer. Number one thing you're in charge of is creating a rundown sheet. What we mean by that is the order of stories. Okay? So if I happen to ask you on a test, let's say a midterm in a couple weeks, and I don't know, let's say number 16 or something says, name at least a couple responsibilities of the producer. Don't tell me order of stories, number one, and rundown sheet. I'm only giving you half on that because that's the same thing. A rundown sheet, what is it? It's the order of stories, right? So order stories / basically putting together a rundown sheet. That's what the producer's job is. Now, again, news, you have your producer. Weather, that meteorologist is typically their own producer. Okay, so they're putting their maps together however they want to. And the sports producer, they're in charge of their little section of sports in their local newscast. So keep that in mind. When you walk into work as a news producer, first thing you do is say, okay, how much time do I need to fill? Okay, I got 12 and a half minutes. Weather comes in, I got 5 minutes. Sports comes in, okay, I got 3.5 for the 6, and I got 5 minutes for the 11. So all you have to do is just kind of mold and shape your whole newscast around those minutes. Okay? And hope it works out pretty good. So you're creating a rundown sheet, order of stories. Another thing producers are going to be in charge of is how much emphasis goes into those stories. How much time are we going to devote to it? Okay? So if you have one of the casinos burning down to the ground in Detroit, okay, and you as a producer say, all right, let's see what we're going to do with this bad boy. All right, we're going to send a live team out there, and we're going to send the helicopter around. By the way, who's flying the helicopter this quarter? Anybody. It really doesn't matter. Thank you, sir. Brian B. All right. Just go ahead. Just fill it up and just roll. Don't worry. There's a man doing this. Right. So we're going to see some Brian B. stuff. He's going to shoot some good stuff for us throughout the quarter, including next week. So we'll see that. Bring home some good stuff. So the main thing is with this here is the emphasis on the story. Now, again, if a casino is burning downtown Detroit and I'm working for WNLD and I send a live team out, or let's say, no, let's say, for example, let's say I say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to send a photographer out there, shoot maybe 30 seconds of video, come back and just do a quick little voiceover story. Done with it. Okay, we're all set. But all the other stations are sending their live teams out there, maybe even two live trucks, and flying their helicopter around. Okay. Now, the thing here is, again, as producers, you always have to be aware that you're always second-guessing that stuff. Okay? It's like a head coach. Okay? A head coach. I mean, it's the same concept. If, I don't know, it's fourth down in inches or one at the 50-yard line and 5 minutes left in a football game, and you as a coach decide to go for it, and your guys execute and make it, and you end up winning the game, you're a genius. Everyone calls up for the next 3 days to discuss it right now. Okay? But if you don't make it, then all of a sudden everyone complains and yells, and you should be, you know, thrown in the river, and we'll break it down that way too. I mean, you're always second-guessed no matter what you do. You're either dumb as a box of rocks, okay, or you're a genius. That's simply the way it works. So as a producer, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to handle this and just get a little bit of video for this burning down the scene. Okay? Got to keep in mind, my news director and probably my general manager, they're going to have a talk with me probably right after that. Or the next day. Right. It's probably going to be as soon as that 11 o'clock newscast ends. The reason is because what's the role of a news director? A news director is not only watching their own station, but they're watching all the other stations. That's what they do. Program directors do the same thing. I have my radio station, but I'm really focused in on our legit competitive stations that play the same kind of format that we do. I want to know what they're doing as well, too. So why do these other stations go out and send live trucks? Spent gobs of minutes on this because it's a big story and we spent 30 seconds on it, that shows not a whole lot of good news sense. Okay? So you're always being second-guessed, and not to mention you're being second-guessed by those crazy talent, too. Talent are nice, okay, don't get me wrong, I'm one of them, but what I'm saying is sometimes you get opinions that you don't really necessarily want sometimes. And you have to fight and battle with that because you're dealing with, and I hate to say it, but you're dealing with a lot of egos. You know, some people's heads are blown out, they can't fit through the door. Okay? And that's sometimes what you have to deal with, and some are very, very nice. In fact, most of them. You have to have an ego, as far as I know, you have to, or people are going to walk all over you. But sometimes people just are, you know, they didn't get enough attention in high school. That's not what the deal is. The point of the matter is, their just heads are way too overwhelmed. But you have to deal with that too. Second guessing, talking behind your back. But as I said before in the industry, folks, you can't worry about that. You know, as a production assistant and as an intern, there were some producers I was scared to death of. You know, but when you talk to them outside, of the newsroom situation, or when things are less stressed, for the most part, very nice people. But when things are going down, man, they need you to do something. If you can't hack it, they're moving on to the next person. They'll let you know about it. They need a job. They have a job of doing anything now. So you're dealing with the emphasis on each story. You're also determining who's going to read each story. Okay, there's another factor right there. Who's going to read it? You got two anchors out there. Who's going to read that story? All right? And sometimes, and I think I mentioned this in first quarter, sometimes certain, you know, tug at the heart kind of stories, real delicate stories, maybe your female anchor handles that better than your male anchor. You know, all depends who's going to do that. Sometimes if it's world disaster, maybe, you know, we had this at Channel 13. Patrick Greenlaw was great if the world was coming to an end. It was terrific with international news, but wasn't so great if a little kid died, okay, because of some sort of accident. Wasn't the best of that. A little harsh and rough around the edges. You know what I mean? So, who's going to read each story? Also, as a producer, you're in charge of how much video is going to go into a story. Okay? And I'll kind of break this thing down for you a little bit, how it works in a news operation. If you're at Channel 4, as an example, okay, in any station you can take, we'll take Channel 4. If you're at Channel 4, you have access to video from all across the globe. Okay? Obviously, your photographers that work for you, they're going to go out and shoot some of the local stuff. But we're talking about if the Pistons happen to be in San Antonio that night, or some rock climbers in Colorado get stranded, or you have a tsunami in Japan, okay, or you have riots in L.A., okay, bad weather out west, okay, all that stuff that's going on, we're not going to send Brian B. with a helicopter to go out and cover this stuff, okay? But what we have access to is basically video from all across the planet. Right? You consistently get, let's just say, for example, and I'm just going to throw times out there, 1 o'clock national news feeds where all you're doing is having stories sent through the AP wire and then video to go along with it. You may get 3 minutes of the rock climbers that are stranded and trying to save them. If I'm the producer, I'm going to say, hey, listen, whoever my editor is, editor, I got a story written up. Here you go. Just slap down the best 25 seconds from that raw footage. We should be having some of that footage come down at 1 o'clock. So what he's going to do is look at the story and say, okay, I got my script. Good. And I'm just going to wait. They're going to send me 3 minutes of raw footage, and I'm going to just edit the best 25 seconds to match the script up. Okay? Same thing with sports. If we got Pistons that are in San Antonio, well, what we're going to do is take the highlights, because you have sports feeds at 5, you have sports feeds at 10, you have sports feeds at 7:30, you have international news feeds rolling down throughout the day. So, and there's going to be a whole list of what they're going to send you. So it's up to you as a local producer, not just what's going on locally, but what are we going to kind of cover here on the international level, on the national level, on the regional level. What are we going to do? So you have the opportunity to do that. Okay? So that's what we're talking about, how much video goes into the story. Also, two producers, deadline decision making. I mean, there's so many deadlines you have to hit. Writing skills are huge as well. So just make sure, you got to make sure you can write as well. Not only write good, but you need to write fast. Right now at this school, you're not so worried about writing really fast, per se. You just get pretty good at writing. Okay? And we always say, even after you graduate this school, for the next year to year and a half, it's almost like, hopefully, for you guys, getting paid and working. But it's almost like being in an extended internship. You know, it takes over for the lack of time you spent here, like college, maybe 2 to 4 year program. Okay? But just make sure, obviously, writing skills are absolutely huge. I said in first quarter, if you guys can write, you got a job. You really do. Because it's few and far between good writers. Hi. Any questions so far? Hi. Yes? Well, there's people from all over the place that are sending this. For example, if we're NBC, we have an NBC news feed, and their Fox is theirs, and ABC is theirs, CNN. There's so many different news feeds out there. You're usually matching the company that you're working. You know, for example, even if it's a CBS affiliate who shot something in Seattle, that's going to go up on the feed system, so everybody can use that. The only thing we need to do is give credit to who shot it. So if we're an NBC station in Detroit, and something happened, and a CBS station, local little station, Channel 2 in Seattle, have to catch it, well, that goes on the feed, everyone can use it, we just have to give credit to the shop. You know, Channel 2, CBS, you know, KYTV, that's it.
Is there, like, a system where these news stations just put the news station out?
Yep, and basically, all the details to it, I don't know. But the point, and that's a Kearney question right there. You know, Kearney knows everything. So, I mean, he knows a lot of that stuff. So, but the point of the matter is, yeah, it is up there, and, international news, anything that happens in Bosnia, you know, Australia, Sydney, Australia, wherever. So it's going to be up there, and it's up to you whether you want to use it. Keeping in mind, you know, if we're NBC, NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams is coming up at 6:30. So we may not even have to touch on it. Maybe we just give a little, because they're gonna give you more of what's going on. That's their job. It's more of an international and national theme today, okay? Also with producers, and this is something that kind of goes into play with the production assistants and you guys as graphics people, right? Producers are in charge of what graphics are involved as well too. And what I mean by graphics, and I'll show you one here, OTS graphics. Okay, this is a good example of an OTS graphic here. Now we're incorporating video into lecture. I hope you enjoy this one. All right, so there's an OTS graphic, over-the-shoulder graphic. Okay. And basically, it's a good visual, even though it may only be on the air for a couple seconds, lead sentence. But if I'm the producer tonight, I'm in charge of saying, okay, what graphics do I want to have in there? Okay. This is like Groundhog Day, so it is actually 9:07. Okay, because I'm thinking, wow, I got to do a lot in 17 minutes. This is really, really exciting. We got a lot of time. No, we don't. All right. So, bad clock. Don't go off that one. But yeah, OTS graphics. I'm in decision. That's my decision to make. Right. What I want it to look like, right? So you guys as CG operators, okay? We're talking graphics over here. You come into work 3 hours before a newscast. You're going to look at the rundown sheet, and you're going to see, oh, wow, look at all these OTS graphics they need. Or full-screen graphics as well, like your sports scoreboards. You have to see how many of those are in the news show. Get it all right. Type in the stuff and make sure it looks pretty, okay? Now, this one right here is kind of cool because this one is actually a photographer who actually shot this video.
As you can see, it's moving video. They just squeezed it down into a box.
Our planet, the new race for a new kind of biofuel, is actually harming the Earth.
So that's actually someone who shot this. And what they're going to do, once they get into the story, is probably show the full screen version of it and more of it. Okay? So they just decided we'll use this one. That'll work out pretty good. Okay? And, let's change that picture. Brian, where's it? All right, rock steady.
Okay, here we go. So what you got here is a situation with you guys as CG operators. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of these OTS graphics you may already have built in into your CG still store directory, so to speak. Okay? So let's name a couple things no matter where you live. Small market, medium market, big market. Alpena, Flint, Detroit. Okay? So no matter where you live, you're going to encounter these news events no matter what. Just in a bigger city, just it's going to probably be a little bit more. So anybody, hands, what do we have? Anything that you see on the news consistently, and you just can't get enough of. Anybody watch the news in this class? Anybody, hands, yes, sir. What's some events that happen no matter what city you live in? Okay? I'm just waiting for him. Yes, sir. Bad weather, let's say. Okay, bad weather, yeah.
Crime,
and that could entail a lot of stuff.
Okay?
Yeah.
City council meetings.
Here, a little more entertaining in Detroit than most places. But yeah, city council meetings for sure. Yeah.
Police corruption.
Yep. Budget
cuts.
I'm sorry?
Budget cuts
is a huge one right now. Okay. And you got all that stuff. Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah, local sports, whether it's on a high school level, college level, or professional level, or all three. So you got that. Yeah.
Politics.
Yeah, so what we're talking about, drinking and driving, fires, things like that happen no matter what. So you got to keep in mind that if that stuff's always happening, okay, as a CG operator, you may walk into work and there may be 20 OTS graphics that you're going to use for the entire newscast. Because your sports producer wants some, your weather producer wants some, your news producer wants some. But hey, if it's drinking and driving, then you're thinking, okay, well, drinking and driving, we already have them. Let me look at my little directory. Oh, drinking and driving. All I have to do is call Still Store 220. Hang on, there it's there. So we'll just call that up and insert that into the rundown sheet. Right. But on 9/11, now if you followed the news at the time, anyone who followed the news at the time, before 9/11, you heard of Osama bin Laden and you heard of Al Qaeda. Okay. You knew that it was out there, but it wasn't the forefront, and a lot of stations didn't have an Al Qaeda OTS graphic ready to roll at that moment. So when stuff like that happens, it's cool because at this particular point, you have a situation with a CG operator, whatever company you're associated with. AP Graphics is a good one. So AP Graphics is one of many, where all you have to do, we have a contract with them, let's say, at our TV station. I'm just going to type in Osama bin Laden. And what they're going to do is give me just a variety of graphics. It's almost like you're Googling. Okay? They're just going to give you a bunch of graphics, and then you choose the one you want, and then put it on the air. So you can type in any subject, okay? But there's certain things you're always going to have. You're usually going to have the mayor, the governor, the president, city council members, superintendent, fire and police chief, things like that. High school logos for the high school sports teams. So the sports that you're going to have the same deal. You're going to have probably an OTS of all the coaches, the main players, all the logos of all the professional major college teams. So all that time, you can just call it out. You don't have to build any graphics, but sometimes you do have to go out of your way and make graphics. Okay? So sometimes that does happen where you have to
Is that what they call like stock footage, where they just have it all already there?
Stock footage is more or less just video that you have on the side. That basically you just kind of capture archives.
Okay.
But this here, yeah, you actually have a still store of this stuff, so it's ready to roll. So, so that's kind of what you got going on there. Sometimes you have to build these graphics, and sometimes all you have to do is call them up. We'll give you a couple more here. This one here.
It sure has been in the news a lot this week. First, we learned they don't think Iran is trying to
something
build
a little different
weapon anymore.
Okay, now this one right here is kind of interesting because they decided to go with this shot first. So, this obviously is a situation where they're going to bring in the OTS after the fact. So they're telling you specifically, camera operator, be off center. To the left. Get ready for an OTS. We're going to dissolve it in instead of have it in ready to start.
First, we learned they don't think Iran is trying to build a nuclear weapon.
You can make
these
things look really, really spiffy. However you want to do it, this one has a blue glaze over it.
This holiday season, charities traditionally depend on donated toys.
Department store, something like that, in the warehouse.
Kids in need.
Cool little fonts, little blocks, got a whole lot of cool stuff on
it.
It's just a visual, so the audience gets to see something else while they're hearing it.
Emergency workers are battling to salvage an oil tank.
So here's just a still shot right from the video that they're going to show, and of course they have tanker crisis as their color, so you can play around with that as well, a little different style.
Oil off the northeastern coast of Spain.
Okay, here's a double box for sports, which works out pretty good. We kind of paused this because this was on very quick. But we already have a Michigan logo. We already have a Bowling Green logo. But what the sports producer decided for this night, they said, hey, listen, CG, guy or gal, what I want is I want a BG and a Michigan logo brought in the same area, okay, on the same map, and we're going to label, you know, where they're at in the standings for college hockey, and we're going to have that from them. So you have to spend some time building that. We're not going to get all the details on how to do that. It doesn't take very long. But the point of the matter is it's just something else you need to do, okay? Once that game's over, just wipe it out. Don't need it anymore. Right, unless you want to use it for the next night. College hockey, usually they play back-to-back Friday and Saturday nights. Usually the other way it works.
Why is there Wendy's logo on
time? That's because the ticker is sponsored by Wendy's. Mm-hmm. How about that? Okay. A lot of sponsors in there. Okay. And this one here, they thought, I believe, there was going to be an OTS camera. Probably the camera operator, but apparently there wasn't. And right? Oops. Not quite. So, of course, I mean, now, keep in mind, he's in there. You're looking at the camera. You can, peripheral vision, you're seeing where the camera, where the, you know, what's going on. There's monitors all over the place. In fact, when you look down at your copy in the news desk, there's monitors built in right inside the news desk, so you can kind of see what's going on. So in that case there, camera operator just, you know, who knows what happened there. So, but they played it nice. No problem, right? So that does happen. You know, keep in mind that going back to off-center shots and things like that, this is what I said for you guys last week. Keep in mind there's going to be so many times that in production, assuming you're staying busy and getting hired in and stuff, there's going to be so many times they're going to send you out there and give you limited directions. Just go. You're going to learn from your mistakes. Right? One of the first times shooting baseball, I'm on top of the dugout. Right, and it was like a college baseball game, whatever it was. So I'm on top of the dugout. They said, okay, camera one, my job is to get the pitcher. Okay. The pitchers wind up and delivering all that other stuff, and then follow up the guy running around the bases. That's all they told me. But again, you know how to focus the camera? Yeah. You know how to white balance? Yeah. You understand the sport a little bit? Yeah. Okay, no problem. All right, so here's a couple things. Boom, go. Okay. That's it. So nonetheless, I'm getting a shot of the pitcher. They brought another pitcher in warming up. And I'm thinking, all right, center up and focus. Looks good. Get the picture. Just lining up as practicing before the inning starts. Okay? So all of a sudden, my director says, okay, all right, camera three, I need you to zoom out, pan right, please. I'm thinking, okay, if I zoom out and pan right, my picture is going to be, like, over here. That doesn't make any sense. So I'm thinking, okay, he didn't mean to talk to me. Camera three, zoom out, pan right, please. All right, camera three, what... Zoom up here. I think, well, is this guy smoking? What is he doing? Okay. And then all of a sudden, a couple seconds later, it made sense. All right, ready, CG? Drop in CG. Gotcha. Okay, so they want me to move over, get this picture warming up so they can drop in his little statistics right here. The CG. Once they lose that, I slowly just pan back and center them up. Gotcha.
How do they know that it's going to fit? How do they get it?
Oh, they have it in preview. There's preview screens in the CG as well, too. And if you've been doing it for a while, you know exactly what you need to do. You know what I mean? So it is one of those situations where, okay, gotcha. It makes sense to me now. So. But nonetheless, that's what you have here. So sometimes you're going to say, well, I'm out of center. This doesn't make any sense. Well, there's a reason for it, usually. Okay? Not always, but usually. Okay. By the way, you mentioned the Wendy's sticker. Keep in mind, a lot of places, what they'll do now, you guys have seen this all the time. You know, the 15th pitch of the sixth inning is sponsored by, everything's sponsored these days. So a lot of times it is a situation where you'll have, hey, listen, the company can't get in the commercial because, it's already loaded up, you know. Mike Trevisano out of Cleveland brought him up last quarter, right, a little bit, with the LeBron issue. But it was kind of interesting because he was even saying, because people are calling up and goes, hey, listen, man, it seems like you got commercials like every other minute on the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. Goes, well, it's the number one show in Cleveland, man. People want to get, you know, their advertising on. You know, the thing that frustrates me, and I'll even tell you this, the thing that frustrates me the most is we have traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 10s. That's cutting into my time. He goes, it's Cleveland, okay? Nobody lives here anymore, okay? Everyone's gone away. So there's no traffic issues. There's a lake north of you, so there's no traffic issues. But we have to have traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 10s, and you know darn well where the problem areas usually are. But the only reason we have it because the weather's sponsored by this, and the traffic update's sponsored by that. Because they can't get the commercials, they're trying to get any way they can to get their name out there. And of course, the radio station's like, oh yeah, heck yeah, they're going to give us more money for this. All we have to do is mention their name. Cool stuff. You know what I mean? So that happens as well, too. All right. Back to producers, though. Graphics, now again, that also is in charge of the full screen graphics as well. So sometimes you may have full screen graphics in sports or product recall stuff, and your job is to basically make the background look good and maybe put a little decorated thing in there or make sure that it's a little artsy, whatever the case is, whatever the subject matter is in that regard. Okay? So any questions on producer? It's a lot. And you'll see one couple in action here throughout the week as well, too. Right. So typically in a real life situation, guys, what do you have in the control room? You have a director on headset, and not an assistant director, but you have the producer. So the producer and director are the ones on headset in the back. They're the ones in charge of set. Producer, we don't have a producer for us because honestly, everything's done for you as far as the content of the show. Okay? Any questions on that? The producer is a lot of work, that's for sure. A lot of work. Lots of money. Okay. We got a couple other ones that we want to talk about here. For obviously positions in the news department, the main positions in the news department. We have a next one here called the assignment editor. Okay, we're going to blow through these kind of quick here. The assignment editor. Please, on a test, don't abbreviate that. That's just not good for anybody. Yeah. But I get it once in a while. Yeah, assignment editor. All right, well, the assignment editor is in charge of doing, and real quick, organize the news crews. So go out and cover stories. And we talk about the news crews. What I mean by organize the news crews means reporters and photographers. Either both or individual. Okay? So as an assignment editor, what I have behind me is a big old board that's going to say who's in charge of what story, what time is it going to air, how much time is it going to give to it, you know, what's the name, what's the slug of the story. So all the stuff's in there. But now it's up to me to say, okay, I got to organize the news crews. Who's going to go cover the story? So I got, reporter photog over here, reporter photog over there. I got just a reporter and just a photog here. I got to basically let these guys know here, what I need you to do is go cover this, this, and that. So disperse yourselves and go out. Yes. All right? So I'm sending those folks out to go cover that stuff. And, of course, with the help of a police scanner, sometimes helps. With the help of having a good rapport with the police and fire departments in all the cities, the suburban areas that you live in. That's why one of the first jobs you're going to do is if you're in the news department as an intern, you're going to basically be calling fire and police departments. Okay? Hey, this is Channel 4. Anything we should know about? Hey, how you doing out there? Oh, good. Because those are typically the people who are going to give you information in interviews and stuff like that. Okay? And if they don't tell us, that's what the police scanner is for. So we can listen to it, boom, move on. Okay? All right? So now let's just say, for example, it's Mom and Dad's birthday party. Okay? All right? Mom and Dad's birthday party, we got Christine going out to cover that. Okay? Christine and Chris, you guys go cover Mom and Dad's. Okay? So they're out there thinking, oh, this is cool. Next thing you know, we got a big accident on an expressway. We're going to say, okay, let's see, who can we send? Okay, Tim's in the back. He's editing his story. All right, we got issues on the other side of town. Hey, Chris, hey, call back to the station here real quick. Hey, Chris, where are you guys at? All right, here's the situation, man. We got a couple little accidents, 75, whatever. We'll hopefully get the mom and dad. They'll be up till 8 o'clock, okay? So just if you could, just go and cover the story. And we may go off and get the mom and dad story as well, but right now we're going to say forget the mom and dad thing. You guys are closer to this. Go out, and this is more important. So assignment editor, that's what you're in charge of. All right? A couple other positions in there, talent positions. We're talking the news anchors and reporters. That is part of the news department, okay? And also, too, in the bigger stations, writing positions, the writers. All right? A couple of tidbits of information I wanted to just mention about the writers. But, yeah, we're talking assignment editors, talent, and again, talent includes the anchors and the reporters, and the writers. Typically in the bigger stations for your writers, okay? Typically in the bigger stations for your writers. You're not going to really be hired as just a writer in a small market, or even these days a media market so much. All right? But if you watch CNN, if you watch ESPN, bigger stations, okay, what do you have on the bottom? Tickers. Okay? You have crawls, which basically give you little stories from the bottom. Someone's got to be writing that stuff. And for you guys as writers these days, this is something I had to go through in college a little bit, but not too much of. But I'm sure colleges who are teaching communications and broadcasting these days are going to have to say, listen, not only do you have to know broadcast writing, because that's what you hear on the radio, that's what you see and watch on TV, but there's a good chance you're going to be working for their website as well, too. So if you're working for a station, there's a good chance you may have to do some newsprint-style writing, right? Like you would read in a newspaper. You have to do that, so you have to kind of know both these days. Right, so if you're working for Channel 4 or Channel 2 or Channel 82, whatever the case is, okay, I may be writing some broadcast-style stuff on air, but then we go online, I'm going to have to type it up and just kind of treat it like newsprint style, journalist style. Okay. Two completely different styles. All right, so what I want to do is just show you just a little bit of a snippet, like 2-3 minutes of a producer in L.A. She is the lady who is a little movie. Okay. Producers, deadlines, okay? Then you have a reporter who doesn't agree with what she's saying. All right? He's at one story. She says bolt out of there. He doesn't really want to. And this is kind of the tug and pull that sometimes goes on. Lights, please, for full effect. Because I need the full effect. All right? I'm all about the full effect. Channel 2, I'm staying. They were straight out of comedy.
Those
he's in the live truck editing.
Jonathan gets drawn into the Compton shooting story as he edits it. But in L.A., you have to be careful about getting too attached to any one assignment.
It's like this.
Israel.
Two firefighters hurt. The story is there's two firefighters who were burned.
Firefighters injured during training exercise.
So there's your assignment desk. Right about here is your assignment desk where, the phones are ringing. You got all sorts of stuff kind of going on.
The story is there's two firefighters who were burned.
Firefighters injured during training exercise.
That's a much better story than some people who got shot in Compton.
The news team decides to reassign Jonathan Elias.
Bring it out of there. Call the desk.
Yeah.
Hi. We have two seriously injured in a fire training exercise.
Is there anybody else working tonight that can run on this?
No. We have two reporters tonight.
I just don't believe this. We need more people. This is ridiculous. To walk away from a story, I don't see these other crews breaking down and racing off to cover the story.
You know what? I usually don't have to, argue when we have to move on a story.
This is a big story. There's a lot of people in this community that are pissed off that this happened, and I don't blame them. Three guys down in a neighborhood, a bunch of kids are playing hoop. The f*** is that about? I'd be mad if it was my neighborhood.
I'm saying that you feel strongly about the story. I feel strongly about the story, but at the same time, I think if I find a story that affects more people than the shooting in Compton, we'll get the shooting in Compton story on the air.
Tell me where I'm going. Just tell me where I'm going. Grossman Burn Center in the Valley. This is so frustrating.
Yeah, it's a good point. The Compton story is a good story. There are 10 million good stories that happen every night. And sometimes it's very difficult to make the decisions that you have to make. But, you got to make them. You know what? Sometimes, you make a good decision. Every once in a while, you make a bad decision. But you don't know unless you make a decision. And so I'm making a decision.
I understand LA's got breaking news. No one's questioning that. It's just that, you invest more than time. As a reporter, you can't be oblivious to the fact that you also invest a piece of yourself in a story. And this is their call. We do as we're told.
Did you know that one firefighter will be airlifted here within the hour?
There are times where I'll be asked to do things that I might not necessarily like, and I'll do them. I'm a good soldier. I do my job. Reporting live from the Grossman Burn Center, Jonathan Elias, CBS 2 News, back to you.
Not a happy guy. All right. So, lights, please, good. We're going to breeze through this one because you're going to see this in its entirety here coming up in just a little bit. All right, so a couple things what you're going to see here. It's debatable. She wasn't real sincere about it, that's for sure. But when you look back at it, you have to read between the lines here. Who did I just say, as far as TV stations, you want to have a good reporter? Right? Who is it?
Fire and police.
Right away, what's more important? Story? Obviously, kids that got shot in Compton. more important. Okay. However, the story's already done. All he's going to do is just, hey, this is Jonathan Elias here, and earlier today, blah, 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 blah. He shuts up, and they roll his two-minute piece that's already edited together. That two-minute piece that's already edited together is still going to get in the air. The only thing that's not is him going live for 15 to 30 seconds at the beginning. So the producer said, you know, you're done. We don't have enough people. The other crews aren't breaking down. Well, that was the lowest rated station in the market at the time. I don't know if it still is. It's a CBS station, so it's like, forget it. You're going in. Okay, he didn't want to go, but he did. But also, too, it's like, okay, not the best news for the fire department. However, hey, guys, we're there. I know you had a couple people burned up in a training exercise, but we're here to support you guys. Kind of, sort of. Look at that. Because we don't want to call that specific fire department and say, hey, listen, you guys, anything going on that we should know about? You. Where were you when our guys were down? You know what I mean? So, if you look at it that way, both stories did get on. So, in a way, if you have to blame, I guess side with one person, probably more the producer. Because her job is trying to get as many stories in as possible. So, just the way she kind of went about saying it may not have been the best. Nonetheless, it seemed like she didn't really care too much, you know, about what was going on there. But the point of the matter is, we got both stories out. All right. Any questions on that? So it is a little, sometimes a little tense. Okay. Last two main positions in news, we have the editor. Okay. And the editor is the one who's basically going to take raw footage and edit the video to match a story. Okay. That's what your editor is all about. So your editor is going to take all the raw footage that's shot, take the raw footage and edit it to a story, edit it to a script, basically is what you're looking at. Okay. Now, of course, there's editors who deal with a lot of different things. I mean, if you're editing for a Ford Motor Company or something, you're editing the music. You're editing to a target audience. If you have, a Celine Dion song playing, okay, and you're trying to throw in a Ford car and truck, well, it's probably going to be slower music and slower edits, okay? And the way you kind of visually show this and the music you're playing, your target audience is for folks who are a little older and have a little lot of cash. They got a lot of cash, too. If you got Megadeth or Motorhead or something like that, or Pimpadelic, okay? You got something going on there, that's moving. We're moving now. Target audience is probably younger. Probably have some cash, maybe not, but the point of the matter is they like their trucks, and they like driving on dirt roads and hills, okay? And they probably own a dog, too, and their truck's usually dirt. Right, that's kind of what you're looking at. Your target audience, it's going to be fast, because you're talking beats, drum beats, guitar riffs, scratches of a record, whatever the case is. So the lyrics, whatever the case is, that's what you're doing. So editors do a lot of different things. You know, keep in mind, 90% of the stuff you see, the 95% of the stuff you see is edited. Whether it's the music, whether it's the sound effects, whether it's the script, a movie, whatever the case is, music video, whatever the case is, okay? And last one is the photographer, okay? I'm going to give you three different names for this. You can use either one, because I'm fine. So I don't want to confuse you. All right, but it's a photographer, because everywhere you go, they want to be called different, okay? Photographer, videographer, photojournalist means the same thing. It's a person with a camera who goes on location to shoot video. Photographer, videographer, and photojournalist. Okay? Photographer, videographer, and photojournalist, again. We're not talking about in-studio cam ops. We're talking about people who actually go out on the scene and go and shoot the video, come back, edit it up, get it to a script, and put it on the air and give it to us, the technical folks. Okay? Photogs, the vids, and the photojournalists. Right, so here's a little bit of that in action. Photographers in the field. Lights, please, for full effect. Oh, my God. Hurry up. There you go. Thanks for being here.
Talk back as a result of this demonstration.
I'm very confident I have done this quite a few times.
It does stop. 10-2 tons of oil. That's correct.
Now, obviously, photographers, it's interesting, to say the least. But keep in mind, the person where you saw, okay, why is the photographer behind the camera saying something about this truck backing into it? Remember, let's go back to first quarter when I mentioned a lot of these small and medium markets, it's called a one-man band. Mm-hmm. All right? So at this particular point, we have the camera set up, and I got my interview. Okay, my camera, I don't have a bow tie with me. I'm a reporter. I'm just setting my camera up, got my shot. Okay, looks good. Now, I'm over here kind of interviewing. I'm not looking at anything else. There's no one behind the camera to say, hey, guys, the truck coming our way. I mean, you hear the beep, 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 but the point of the matter is you're in the middle of the city. When you're in the middle of the city, you hear all these noises, but they just, you know, zone them out. Because you're so focused on what's going on here. So that's kind of what happens there. And it's kind of an interesting situation, even just a few years ago. We're all in one of the outside classrooms here. Classrooms with a window you can see in the parking lot. So we had our meeting there because it didn't go anywhere else. So they get anything else in the book. Point of the matter is we're in the meeting. And Donnie at the time, who's our video supervisor and coordinator, so we're all listening and he's talking. He wasn't really talking about anything really that exciting, but a car alarm went off. Okay? And we're all sitting there talking. He's probably about maybe 20 seconds into it. He goes, you know, it's kind of funny, guys, real quick. He said, that car alarm is loud. It just went off and none of you guys even flinched. How many times do you hear a car alarm? You hear a car alarm, you know? Like my daughter Sophia, she's like, what's that? What's that? It's like, what's what? Oh, that's a car alarm. Apparently someone's in trouble. Yeah, let's go check. Let's set a good example.
Let's go. Let's move on.
You don't hear this stuff, right? Now, as far as the railroad tracks, that's a different story. Now, you got, again, similar but a little different. You got, again, a person with a camera, all right, and what they're trying to do is, oh, man, I got a great story now. What I'd like to do is put a quick stand-up with me. We're going to tape it into the middle of my story, okay? And I'd like to be right on the railroad tracks. So it's going to take a little more time to set up because you're by yourself. Then you got your little microphone. Okay, you got your little microphone. You're thinking, okay, I hear the train. I hear it. But hopefully this is going to take one shot. And we're just going to get this done, grab the camera, and go. Of course, when you're in a hurry, sometimes it's going to take one take, maybe three takes, maybe five takes, maybe eight takes. And you're trying to get it done because you're looking at your watch thinking, okay, I got to be back at the station. It's, you know, if I don't get this done now, what's going to happen is this train is going to take forever. So I'll come up with a different way of, you know, some other different style of stand-up that I want to put in there. So I just hurry up and get this done. And, of course, it didn't look like we got it done. So you might just have to, you know, something different. Go to another train track. Couldn't do it there because it would be too loud. Okay. And the guy with the plane, I don't know what he was thinking. The lucky guy. Lucky little guy. All right. So any questions as far as, you know, again, the different roles in the news department. And, again, we talk about small markets. We talk about, you know, photographers and editors and reporters. And, again, producers, typically not a first job. But again, there's a lot of people who do go to those cable stations, which are not going to be making hardly anything. But a lot of those old cable stations are great because they give you access to equipment that you can touch, and you can get into roles that typically you would never get into much quicker, and hopefully get some experience and move on. Okay? So let's take a look at number 11 on your sheet here. Six main positions available in the news department would be... First one is...
Producer.
Very nice. Very nice. Is the producer. And then we also have the... Absolutely not. No directors. The assignment editor. So we have, and again, no particular order here, but we have producers. We have assignment editors. What else?
Editor.
Yes, we have the editor as well.
Writers.
We got writers. We got on-air talent. That's reporters and anchors.
Photojournalists
and photographers. Okay, I think we have one. Producer, assignment editor, writers, editors, talent, and photographers. One more time. Producer, assignment editor, writers, editors, photographers, and talent. Those are the six main positions. Okay. Any other questions on study sheet number two that maybe you guys did not get, or if you do, then you can do an email for it. Very good. Okay. One thing, because I just have a couple minutes here, and I just want to introduce this breaking news Miami before we hit break, because it's going to take about 35 minutes and then try to get some people white balancing at the end of class. And then my next class, you guessed it, the freshmen are in today. So the freshmen are in today, and we're going to go over there, Gagliardi reads. Very exciting. You remember that day? It was a very exciting day for a lot of you guys. So, day you'll just never forget ever. But nonetheless, I do want to introduce this breaking news Miami because... just so once you get back in here, we get kind of right to it, because you're just pretty much watching it, and I'll kind of dive into a couple of things that are going to be involved in this. But for the most part, number one thing is you're going to see a couple things. You're going to see, number one, how fast-paced this could be. It's sometimes nutty. You walk into work and you thought you had a nice, cool day going on, and all of a sudden it just breaks loose. There's other days you're going to see one particular reporter who basically is, oh, wow, I get to go out and hang out, get away from the suits and the big wigs, and just go out in the field and hang out with baby crocodiles, at least in the wild, and I get to do that all day. So what we're saying is you always get to do something different. Sometimes it's very serious stuff. Sometimes it's a lot of fun stuff. You're going to notice that, you know, even some things like white balancing a camera. You know, it's one of those deals where, hey, we got 20 seconds, 30 seconds, there you go, you know, white balance, go. You got to know what you're doing. You know, in those specific times, we're talking an internship, you may not know everything, but you want to cross all your T's, dot all your I's, because when someone needs something in a pinch, they want to make sure, and you want to make sure that you have a pretty good indication of what the heck's going on. You know what I mean? So there's going to be that kind of stuff going on. Different variety of stories, hectic day. One thing that I think is kind of a key here, you're going to notice the attribution. You know, something happens in the water off the Miami coast, and it's plain as day. But you're like 99% sure what you saw and what it is. But you don't know for sure because you don't have that verified. So therefore, you have to go back to the attribution factor, because if we don't do that, then of course, you know, basically we call it CYA, cover your ass. That's basically what it's called. So therefore, if you do that, you're fine. I'm sure Bob mentioned that in class as well, too, for the writers. So, but it's fast writing, and hopefully pretty good writing as well, too, is what you want. I think one young lady put it really, really good, because you don't have all day, I mean, you have all day that you're working for this 90 seconds you have on air. And if the 90 seconds that you have on air as an on-air talent reporter go great, wow, terrific. You're on cloud nine. If it doesn't go so well for a couple times for her, it did not, you know, it's really tough to live with, because you're striving for perfection. Okay, you really are. So you're going to see some things go wrong, which I think are good to see. Because sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to get it all right. Well, no, not necessarily. Some other factors were involved out there as well, too. And I think the other thing, this is something that just really doesn't, I think it goes unnoticed to some degree, but I'm speaking from personal experience here myself. Photographers. You know, a lot of these businesses are going to be looking at this saying, okay, if you're a photographer, you're going to go out in the field, and you may have to climb scaffolding to go get a good shot. You may have to go running around town to get a good shot. I mean, literally running around town sometimes. Good thing is, a lot of those big cameras, you're still going to have to use, but most of the time now the smaller ones. Okay? So a lot less weight on the equipment. But a lot of these stations are looking at necessarily, they're looking to say, listen, health benefits. It's one of those little things you have to think about. Like, if I'm going to hire you as a photographer, are you in pretty decent shape? Are you okay to carry this equipment? Are you okay to run around here? We're not going to have any issues. Because a lot of times you may not use a tripod. And it hit me, quite honestly, because what they're doing here, they're going to, I think, KFC. KFC, all right? So I'm going to tell you right now, my diet in Lima, okay, because I thought I could get away with this post-college. My diet, first of all, growing up, was a lot of good food. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I took a Hershey Big Block and dunked it in some crunchy peanut butter and scarfed it down, no big deal, because I'm playing basketball for the next 6 hours. I don't have to worry about anything. Okay? You get out of college, next thing you know, okay, it's going to be a situation where we have time, because it's kind of dead today in the news. We have time for three lunches. We wanted to. We can eat whatever we want. Go home and eat whatever. And there's time you have no time for lunch, which is horrible as well. But what it basically breaks down to when you get kind of in a bad habit. What are we doing today? We're doing tacos, we're doing pizza, we're going to supersize yourself, what are we doing? And after a while, that kind of shows on the air. And where it hit me was, I-75 accident, Tom, go over there. All right, so you get to the on-ramp, and the on-ramp's about maybe a quarter of a mile up, okay? And it's kind of a hotter day, 80, 85, 85, 90, somewhere around there. Of course, it's a little hotter on the pavement. Right? And of course, we got the big camera, so it's like, we should be able to drive up there, because we're the media. It says Channel 35 in my car. It's like, ooh, police are like, no. But you're more than welcome to go up there and shoot some video. It's like, no problem. All right? So I'm thinking to myself, man, it's still up there. It's a quarter of a mile. It's time for me, a quarter of a mile. I was like, oh, I'm not bringing this tripod. Forget the tripod. I'm not, because I'm less for me to bring it back. So, of course, you're walking, and literally just to get up the hill, it was like, and then I got to go another almost 3/4 of a mile down the hill. So God forbid I actually had to walk a mile. For me, a mile is—that's nothing. That's nothing now, but at the time it was like burgers. It's like, and then of course you get to your interview and it's like, You're talking, I mean, it looks like you're stalking someone. You're crazy dude. You know, that phone call. This is before caller ID, where you can actually do that. So the point of the matter, I mean, it looks like a creep show. I mean, I'm totally out of shape, you're sweating, the camera work is all off, and it's just like, man, I got to do something with this. So yeah, you have to be in somewhat decent shape to run camera. We're talking photographers. Keep that in mind, especially in the heat in Miami. So you got a lot of walking, you got a lot of stuff to have to do. And again, the individuals that hired me possibly could be looking at that as a high priority. You know, so those are the things. All right, take a break. We'll see you guys back at 10 o'clock, and then we'll pop into Miami and watch that.